Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's a couple minutes before 5:30, so let folks join us as they do, as they come on for the public hearing.
Hey folks, Michael signing in.
Hey Mike.
How we doing?
So far so good.
Good. Did some homework on some new stump grinding teeth today for the machine.
Excellent.
Yeah. More aggressive, brand new type of setup. Looks doable, so I'm working on that.
Very good.
Yep.
Yes.
Anybody else on board here? What's going on?
Oh, you're on the phone, aren't you, Mike?
Yep.
Yeah, we're getting a crowd. Let me see. Doug's on. Paul is on. You're on. I'm not sure who another phone is, but we have four, so we have a quorum, although we're not doing any official business tonight. Still always good to get a quorum when we have a meeting. Okay. Kurt's on. So we're well over what we need for a quorum, so that's good. And we have good participation today. Excellent. Okay, just be another minute or so. Give people who are just logging on now, signing on now, a chance to do this, and then we'll get started. Kurt, did we get resolved the question of whether or not this is going to be able to be recorded on the town cloud?
I'm not sure. I corresponded with Ryan this afternoon, and I deleted some recordings from the cloud, from the town account, but I don't know if it's been resolved or not.
Okay. Well, we'll try our best to take good notes just in case they're not recorded. All right, 5:31. We have, I think, five members of the planning board here, and looks like an equal number of members of the public, maybe even more members of the public. Purpose tonight is to get input from members of the public on two proposed ordinances. That we would bring to town a meeting for approval by the voters if that's what they want to do. I think we'll start with discussion about, not discussion, but the first item will be on the on the sprinkler system, the requirement that new residential construction starting in January will have an automatic sprinkler system. and that its installation and any maintenance needs to be done following state laws and regulations by the state fire marshal's office. So before we get started with the comments, let me just make a note here. We have received two written comments already, and I just want to make sure that we make note of those. First is a short email that I got today from Bob and Nancy Jordan, and they wanted to register their opposition to this proposal based on two reasons: the shortage of water on the island and the desperate need for affordable housing on the island. And they don't see that this requirement for automatic sprinklers advances either of those issues, and in fact, probably is harmful in terms of the water. So that's one letter that we received. Also, Brian Dudley forwarded to me a more lengthy a letter in opposition from Sandra Glenn. And she makes several points in opposition to the ordinance, and I will share that letter with the members of the board after tonight, or yeah, after the public hearing. So that's what we've heard so far. We're open to have comments from members of the public on this proposed ordinance, and just make a request that you try to keep your comments to less than 5 minutes. We want to hear from everybody tonight on both of these topics. So who wants to go first?
Hey, Steve, this is John Lordy.
Okay, John.
I had a question, not a comment. I've had a building with the sprinkler systems before, but it was hooked up to a municipal water system. And in order for the system to work properly, it has to have a certain amount of pressure and also water supply. And I'm uncertain of whether there's been any evaluation done of whether these systems would function on the island or what the minimum requirements are for a water system on the island.
So the question as to whether we've done any evaluation of the water, and the answer to that is no, we have not. We require in this amendment, John, is that the system that be installed is meets what's the National Fire Protective Association 13D requirements, which is the standard nationwide for 1 and 2 family residences. And that system requires 7 pounds per square inch of pressure on the system and enough water to run for 10 minutes at that level. So that's the system that we would require under this new order.
So have you back calculated what would be needed from an average well to facilitate that?
What you would have to do is put a 1,000-gallon tank in your basement, fill it, pressurize, either do a dry system where you have a flapper, so when the sprinkler head goes off, water goes out the sprinkler head. We went to install one of those in an apartment building that didn't have access to deep water. I chose not to use that system because it struck me as being risky in the sense of freezing up. So the question that I have is, does this have to be a year round? So if I build a new cottage and I'm only going to use it seasonally, am I going to heat the house year round, or can I shut the system down, drain it out? There is a high correlation between people being in a house and a fire. So when a house is usually empty, they don't catch on fire. But the logistics of keeping a 1,000-gallon tank from freezing, where do you put it, the pumps, power, all of that. Unlike in the city where you're on municipal water, if the power's out, you still get fire protection. Here, again, you're tied into electricity, having to pump, having to be able to run. And as we witnessed Saturday, we did run out of power for a brief period. So I think logistically, this is going to be a nightmare for the property owner to try to, where do you put a 1,000-gallon tank if you're building on ledge? There's a lot of issues with this, and I really worry the bigger concern will be power outage, freeze-ups, and stuff like that.
Okay.
Hi, Steve. It's Ed McElhaney. And in addition to freezing up and power outages, you could very easily facilitate a power outage by putting in a $7,000 generator, which would facilitate the pumping of the water. I've gone through a number of studies and which were certified and approved and put out by the National Fire Protection Association, National Association of Home Builders, U.S. Fire Administration, and they all say to a T that the most effective form of fire suppression is smoke detectors and CO2s, which I believe we currently are mandated to have. I think that a sprinkler system should be recommended, but not required. And I don't think it should be a mandatory system. I don't think that new homeowners, plus with the new building materials that we now currently have, homes are not as susceptible for burning as a lot of the older cottages, which were really built with kindling at this particular point. And if you look at smoke detectors, they usually save 99% of the people within the house because smoke comes out before fire. It has to be at a certain temperature to even get the sprinklers to work. And the only way to test the actual sprinkler system, in addition to the fire marshals, is to put a match underneath them and see if they light up. So, you know, I think it's a great concept. I don't think it's a great concept for an island such as ours with limited water, probably limited number of new houses being built. Also, we want to have affordable housing. So let's tack $15,000 to $25,000 onto the cost of that affordable home. I just don't think it's a very good, I'm totally opposed to it. I have family members and friends and family that are building houses, new houses, and I don't want to penalize them by making them put in a sprinkler system. We have a sprinkler system here. It's a dry system that was mandated because it's a commercial property, but that's a totally different situation. So I don't know. Take the fun out of the island, I guess. That's all I have.
Okay.
I have another question. If currently we have a seasonal cottage on the island, but planning short term to potentially make that our main residence. If we decided to make that our permanent residence, would we be required to retrofit that house at exponential cost with that sprinkler system, or would there be a grandfather clause? Either way, you know, just to tie in looking at the research and water cisterns, generators, not to mention if you have a multi-purpose system which ties into your residential well, you would have to have a backflow valve. And that also requires annual testing to the town for a backflow valve, as well as annual testing of your system. And it just becomes cost prohibitive on the island to have somebody come down and do that on a regular basis. I understand that not, you know, when you read the data in the FPA about the potential for reduction of damage to a home, life-saving, as well as the savings to your homeowner's insurance, but I don't think that takes into account the expense of the island and what you're going to do to have that out there. I would say that I also am not supportive of this at this time, given the water resources and the expenses that it would incur to residents on the island that maybe someday want to relocate there. Thank you.
So, John, just to answer your initial question about if you were to convert a seasonal residence to a year-round residence, the answer to that is yes, you would be required to have that sprinkler system installed. The proposed ordinance says that starting in January of 2024, any building permit issued for the new construction of a residence, a construction of an accessory dwelling unit, or the conversion of a seasonal home to a year-round residence would require the installation of the sprinkler system.
However, I don't need conversion. I have everything I need in my house to live there. I can live there right now if I'd like to, so I don't need any conversion. Would that still apply if I live there?
So if you're not converting it, in other words, adding whatever you need to do is to make a seasonal home a year-round home in terms of heating and year-round plumbing and insulation, then this wouldn't affect you. Wouldn't affect that in that circumstance. But for the conversion of a cottage to year-round would require the sprinkler system. And it's my understanding that the system that we're requiring does not require annual inspection of the system.
Of the water system.
System that we were requiring does not require annual inspection. That's for commercial or industrial or public sector sprinklers. For the residential, it's not required to have them done annually.
That is not what I have read in the NFPA or the building code, that it does require an annual inspection according to the state statute, as you opened up with, to meet the ordinance that they have to be inspected and approved according to the state statute.
Yeah.
And I would also like to know,
John, that's a bit confusing because I had the same thought, but I had a conversation last week with the state fire marshal's office, and they said for the system that we're requiring, the NFPA 13D, it does not require annual inspection. We'll look further into it, John, but at the moment I'm operating on what I was told by the fire marshal's office, it doesn't require annual inspection. So, other points that you make are well taken. Anybody else?
Steve, don't wait. I guess one more question. What was the driving force behind trying to get this adopted?
Well, it started with Justin Papke, who's a member of the Fire and Rescue Squad. He asked that we consider it. The proposal that we have is supported by Will Tierney and Justin and Fire and Rescue Squad. It's also supported by the State Fire Marshal's Office. So Justin's a member of the board, the planning board, and it's I feel as the chairman of the planning board, if a member has an idea that they want the board to pursue, we should pursue it. And so that's what we've done. So Justin is in the fire department, the fire and rescue squad are the ones that are most enthusiastically supportive of this idea.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
It's Ed again. So John, to answer your questions from a homeowner's insurance policy, I called up my local representative and he said I would save at least $40 a year if I had a sprinkler system involved. So if you extrapolate that, then, you know, I could pay for it in about 135 years, just from an insurance point of view. But the other question is, I think you had mentioned, if you do have an existing home, and you decide, and I know that according to the building code, all new cottages that are being built have to have, I believe, insulation and winter water. You can no longer build a seasonal cottage. So the only thing that's not required, I don't think, by the building code is the fact that you have to have a heating element, so which would negate it. But most homes being built today aren't cottages, they're year-round properties. So that would facilitate them having to put in a sprinkler system. But that's all I have. And the other question is, if we have an existing cottage and we decide to add on another building to it, how many square feet, what percentage of my existing property do I have to have, or can I put on without putting on a sprinkler system? So if I have a 2,000 square foot house and I add a 1,500 square foot addition, do I require
because it's more than 50% of existing that require a sprinkler system into that new addition?
No.
No? Perfect. So I can put on, I can double my house, my existing cottage, and not have to put on a sprinkler system?
Correct.
Oh, that's perfect. All right, great. That's good news. Thanks.
Steve, Matt McLean's had his hand
I'm trying to use Zoom etiquette. Matt McLean, I'm a landowner on the island, and I'm starting to price out building on the island. I'm also a realtor, so I've had some experience with the buying and selling of properties that have had sprinkler systems in. When I'm looking at pricing out a house to sell, there's been no real benefit of a sprinkler system. So it adds no real benefit, at least in my opinion, for resale value, so basically it's wasted, not wasted money, but it's money that can't be recouped by the selling of a property. I've also had three properties in the past 5 years who have had sprinkler systems where the sprinkler system has malfunctioned and gone off without fire. And one of them was $150,000 worth of damage that the insurance company would only recoup about half of that. The other one was about $600,000 where the insurance company would only recoup about 25%. The other one, I have no idea on. Other thing I wanted to mention is there's 125 million houses in the United States right now. There was 370,000 fires last year. Of that, less than a third of 1% was causes fatalities. But there's no documentation that a sprinkler system saved anybody else in those fires. With the new construction, we've basically gotten to the point where it suppresses a fire so that we can get out of the house. And then we've also shown that a smoke detector, a hardwired smoke detector, is the best form of defense for saving lives. A sprinkler system is not going to save the building. If anything, it's going to ruin a building more so if it has to go off, because it's going to go off everywhere. And then also, Steve, to Steve's point, where we're not going to have not require yearly inspections. This is an island with salt air, which corrodes every system out there. So if you're not inspecting it, we're going to have a huge problem 5-10 years down the line with non-inspected sprinkler systems that are going to start to have problems.
Matt, just to be clear, the state does not require inspection by a certified or licensed inspector, but that doesn't mean the property owner can't inspect and maintain the system in their home.
Absolutely. But also I'm looking at it from just a realistic standpoint. If somebody doesn't have to do it on a yearly basis, a lot of times our furnaces will break down because instead of every year maintenance, we push it off and push it off and push it off until it dies.
Right.
So if a sprinkler system malfunctions, then it's drowning the house.
Right. Thank you, Matt. Good observations.
Just to go on record, I'm opposed to it.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Steve,
Joe.
From my public point of view comment, not the select board comment. This proposed ordinance, I start right out with saying I'm opposed to it. Also, I think once the members of the planning board get the copy of Sandra Glenn's letter, she brought up 14 points, all of which the members of the public have already addressed here tonight. Parts of them, she's gone into a few more that are all very valid and good points. Some of the things that are stated as fact concerning these sprinkler systems are not necessarily facts or opinions. I understand that, but the island just is not set up. A new construction on the island is not set up for these systems. I would like to correct one thing that my insurance company, as you all know, I am building a new house right now. And although this wouldn't affect me, my insurance company did say it would be an 18% reduction on my homeowner's insurance. These type of residential units also are sprinkler only goes off in the room where the heat is, not the entire house. So that's a little bit of a misnomer there too. It's just one, but it doesn't matter. We're not set up to do it. The houses, the water system, the wells are just not set up for it. I think everybody that on the planning board needs to look at those 14 points you made, and I think that'll convince you that this proposed ordinance change should not be presented to the town at this stage. I think it needs more review. I think the smoke detector system proposal that she made and Matt, I think, brought up makes a tremendous more sense than this does. The whole idea behind smoke detectors is to get the people out of the house. Then we'll worry about the house later. May work. And I think updating the ordinance, which is, what is this, Steve? Chapter 10? Chapter 12.
Chapter 10, fire prevention.
Chapter 10 needs a major overhaul. It spends a lot of its energy on oil tanks and things like that. So it does not discuss fire protection as much as it should. I think that should be a priority for the town and the fire department to relook at that ordinance and revamp it for next year and bring it up to code, bring it up to stuff. And I'll just finish up with Chapter 10 does not belong in the planning board to begin with. And even though a planning board member brought it up, it's not part of land use. It's not part of the purview of the planning board. So I think we move on from this one and readdress it in the future when we get more information.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Jay.
Breaker. I agree with Joe 100%. I didn't really think about this. This is really Chapter 10. We get about 30 hours into this topic. So I agree with Joe 100%.
Well, okay. Jay?
Steve, thank you. Let me begin by saying I am opposed to this. The island is not ready for this type of, I'll call it, sophistication. during one of the finance committee meetings, they're using a process called the Saratoga approach on the viability and the financial ability to fund different projects on the island. And if we were to look at this, if Saratoga or someone of that caliber was looking to build or modify a house, would they be able to live on the island? Okay, that's my one thought. The second thought is I'm glad you're gonna share this letter from Sandra Glenn with the members of the planning board. However, there are many people on this meeting tonight that probably would benefit from having that letter written, read into the minutes of the meeting so that all people could see the different points that she brings to the table.
So what we'll do on that point, Jay, is we will add the text of the Jordan's letter and Sandra Glenn's letter to the webpage for this meeting so that people can go on to the community calendar. Click on this meeting, and that will be one of the attachments for the meeting. They'll be able to read the letter.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, I say that, Kurt, I hope we're able to do that. I think we are.
Yes, we can.
We will do that then. Joe, just one point about the systems. The fire marshal's office and also I think our fire and rescue squad, the system that we're proposing is not a designed or expected to protect and save the building. The system is designed and expected to provide some additional time for people to leave a building in case of a fire. So it is a health and safety issue, not property protection.
Steve, I never said it was. You misunderstood me. I understand it's only life-saving, get the people out of the building. Same thing.
Yeah. A little more time than with the smoke detector.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So it's 5:57. So we've had.
I'm sorry.
My cousin Morgan Bodwin had a comment in the chat. Wanted to know who has the final vote on whether this is enacted.
Town voters do.
And I'm sorry, I figured out how to unmute me. Do we have, have we lost a lot of homes or individuals, this is Morgan Bowden, to fires in the last 20, 30, or 40 years?
I don't know the fire fatalities on this island over the last 10 or 15 years, or even longer than that. But Joe, you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I lost my aunts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Yeah. So we do have an issue that needs to be addressed, but in a way where also managing the water.
Excuse me, are you addressing me or the board?
I want to clarify, I want to make sure I want to make sure it's what the issue is that we're addressing through the ordinance. So I was seeking clarification.
Yeah. So is somebody help me, Joe, or someone who's been here since the island became a town? How many fire fatalities have we had in the town of Long Island in the almost 30 years? Any idea?
Since town was formed, I don't believe there's been any.
Okay. Good points. Anybody else have a comment on this? Morgan, let me be clear about where we would go from after this public hearing. The planning board has a meeting on Monday. And at that point, we will decide whether or not we want to forward this amendment, proposed amendment to town voters for town meeting. So the initial decision is to advance whether or not we want to take it to town meeting. And we'll have that decision on Monday.
Fantastic. Monday. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, if the board decides that we do want to present it to town voters, then the ultimate decision will be to town voters at the town meeting, which I believe is May 13th. So, anything else on sprinklers? If not, close the discussion on sprinklers and open up a discussion of the proposed amendment that we are advocating in response to the new housing law, statewide housing law from last year, LD 2003. Anybody have any thoughts on that they want to share, or observations or comments on the proposed amendment?
Well, I think anything we can do to help affordable housing on the island is I'm definitely in favor of, and it's obviously a huge need that we have here. So I believe the ordinance is set up to help alleviate some of the affordable housing issues, and so I would be in support of that.
Okay, thank you, John. Anybody else on the housing ordinance? Okay.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
I'm also in support of the ordinance change for two reasons. One, I think the intent of LD 2003 was well intended. It was not necessarily thought out completely, and all the ramifications are going to take some time to work through on both the town level and the state level. But I think it's a step that we're required to do, for one, but it's a good move for us to take the first step and get it going. LD 2003 may be delayed, the implementation, but we don't know that yet. And so I think I support this going forward to the town for them to have the opportunity to vote on it. I think it'll be a lively discussion, and I think there'll be a lot of questions, and there'll be, you know, it'll be fair that the questions are asked, but I think that it does have the potential to allow the town to move forward with more year-round housing opportunities that would be good for the future of the town. So that's just my take on that. There's a lot of discussion on it that will be had by the town at town meeting, I'm sure.
Cyrus?
Yeah, Steve, quick two questions. One, I'm assuming this does not override the plumbing code. So every ADU will have to show that the septic system on that property can handle an additional set of bedrooms. Is that correct?
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the things we make sure that plans for the subsurface wastewater disposal must be prepared by a licensed site evaluator, meeting existing disposal system regulations in the state, and that the new system to be built meets or will meet current state standards for the total number of bedrooms being proposed for the lot. So yeah, we're making sure that the septic system is satisfactory and sufficient for the load.
The second question is, I'm assuming deed restrictions on subdivisions are not overridden by this law too.
They are not. The law is very specific. They don't override private covenants or other private restrictions.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else have thoughts, comments, questions? Okay. If not, 6:04, we'll call the public hearing to a close. Again, for members of the public, we have a meeting of the planning board scheduled for this same time, 5:30, next Monday. Just like this meeting, it's a Zoom-only meeting. And we will post as soon as we can the letters from the Jordans and Sandra Glenn for folks who want to look at those letters. Thank you very much for both the attendance tonight and a very well-informed and thoughtful discussion.
Thank you.
We're grateful for the participation. So with that, good night.
Good night.